decision on him. Camus, again, his right hamstring strain. He did some running today, and we'll see where he's at later in the week. But again, he's also week to week. And then Taylor Hart with the right ankle. He was sore this morning again, and he's also week to week. Benny Logan is doing much better. We'll see where he's at. We'll probably limit him a little bit. He should return to practice this week and get him some reps and see where he's at. Chris Maragos and Leotis, with their hamstrings are okay. I'll be full go with them. And then Michael Kendricks, Jordan Matthews, and Carson had the calf strain a week ago, or calf spasm actually, are okay and are full go.
How did Wiz do in Barber's place?
Wiz did well. You know, he's such a competitor, and he's a pro. You know, he really focuses in on his assignments, his job, and he's itching to play, and he got an opportunity and played well.
Week four now, and are you expecting him to be absent against the Giants?
Can't tell you until I see him on Wednesday to see where he's at.
Can you talk a little bit more about Carson's calf? I don't think that was on the report. Was that a?
It was just sore after the Minnesota game. He got kicked in it and was sore and just a spasm. He's fine.
So it didn't. You didn't re-aggravate it?
No.
In the game?
No, not at all.
Looking at the film, was there anything down the field that maybe Carson missed or that you didn't see maybe during the day that was available? What did you see after that?
There's always when you come in on a Monday and you look at the tape and you look at it with a different set of eyes. I mean, yeah, you can always make a determination on certain things down the field, but you know. Dallas, too, played a little bit more too deep against us than what we've seen in previous weeks. I thought that Carson was very efficient with the throws he did make. He made some tough throws at the end of the half. There were some situations there. But overall, I thought we came away, you know, in the passing game pretty well in this game. So, you know, we'll evaluate it some more, but at the same time, I thought that the decisions that he made and the down the field throws that we did have were good and led to a field goal, obviously, before half.
You think wide receiver drops are a problem?
Well, anytime you drop the ball is a problem. Everybody has to do their job. I talk about it every week with the team. You know, you have to do your job, do your assignment, no excuses. And you have to own up to them. And were there some drops in the game, you know, last night that were crucial? Yeah, I mean that's part of it. And we just got to continue to work and get better and keep putting our players in those situations to make those plays.
Last week you said that you were good with your wide receivers. You said there wasn't going to be any moves at the trade deadline, considering how they played. On Sunday, do you feel like you need to upgrade there, and will you guys make a move before the deadline?
As far as I know, we're not making any moves. The guys we have are the guys we have. We're going to continue to work and get better at that position.
So you guys have one play of 30 yards or more in the last four games now, over 230 snaps. Can you win without doing anything down the field?
We went 9-0 in Kansas City and didn't do it. You know, I've seen it done. You can do that. We have to figure out and find ways to get the ball, obviously, down the field. You have to trust protection. You have to trust reads and progressions. And you got to trust the guys to get down the field. So there's a lot involved in that kind of stuff. And we just have to evaluate it. But, yeah, I think you can definitely win.
You mentioned Trey last week. Any chance he'll be up?
I don't know. We'll just see where he's at. You know, he's still working. Mentally, he's getting better with the offense and learning the role. He's done an outstanding job on the practice squad with the look teams, not practice squad, but with the look teams. We'll see where he's at again this week.
Nelson Aguilar, his comments after the game. I don't look at drops, any of that type of stuff. I'm tired of hearing about it. It's just stupid. I'm wondering how those kind of comments sit with you coming from a first-round pick who obviously is charged with not dropping.
Well, you know, it's obviously, you know, we're disappointed. I'm disappointed you know, the type of comments. I think you each individual has to be responsible for their own job, obviously. We got to make good, smart choices. And everybody's mad and disappointed and angry after tough losses like we just came through. You know, cooler heads prevail, and we just have to, you know, bite our lips sometimes and just suck it up and get to work. And, you know, that's what we got to do this week.
That more than incrementally, you know, we always talk about making the receivers catch the ball better and running backs securing the ball, but guys have reputation. I mean, you have one on your team. Guys have reputations over a stretch of time that are counter to any what any coaching influence. Are people inherently good or bad in that, and you can move the dial incrementally?
I mean, I think you can move. You can definitely move the dial, and you can move it in a positive direction. I think you just got to continue to show confidence in that player. You know, the second you don't, I think is when bad things, negative things can happen to that individual. And listen, we're, you know, we go to work every single day with the guys we have, and we just keep fighting. There's a lot of football left, a lot of season left, and it's like I told the guys after the team. I mean, you're still a good football team. You're a great football team. You know, you proved it. You proved it again last night. You know, you went toe to toe with one of the best teams in the National Football League, you know, you prove that you just got to eliminate the mistakes. You eliminate the assignment errors. You eliminate turnovers. Make the pick when you get an opportunity to make those types of things, and those things will help us win games down the stretch.
Did you think of yourself at all on the trip home, watching tape or anything that you second guess if so?
You know what? I'm the first one to tell you that, and I'll admit that you know, I look at the tape not necessarily from execution the first time around. I do that more today. I look at it from the standpoint of, did I put the guys in the right spots? Did I do enough to be accountable for putting our offense in the right spots by play call? And, you know, you take away from this game, we're always evaluating. I'm always evaluating myself, the players, the whole thing. And, you know, if there's anything in this game that I look at and point a finger at for myself, would probably be the play in the first quarter on the fourth down. You know, we kicked the field goal. We got the roughing. Would have put us at a fourth and one. And, you know, it would have been a situation there and possibly at the 7-yard line to go for it. You know, whether you make the fourth and one or not, you keep the drive alive, or they get the ball at the 7-yard line, 8-yard line, and have to go the distance. So I look at those plays, and I need to evaluate those, you know, from my own standpoint.
Did Ryan Matthews have such a limited role yesterday, and was it a reaction to his fumbles in the previous
game? It wasn't a reaction. I just think that Darren had the hot hand yesterday. Darren was playing outstanding, and he was doing some great things out there. So just wanted to keep Darren in the game.
Are you concerned about giving Darren that number of carries at 33 years old?
Well, I mean, no. I definitely think he's capable. I think you don't want to give him any more than what he got yesterday. But you know, with his role on special teams and all that too. So, he's. I mean, if you know Darren like I know Darren, the way he works during the week, the way he prepares himself and prepares his body and mind, you know, he's definitely capable of handling that type of load.
And so, why did that first quarter sequence stand out to you more than the fourth quarter sequence when you had the third and eight at the 30-yard line, 6-yard loss to Sproles, and then you pumped the ball?
Well, in the first quarter, obviously, and really both of those situations were decisions that, you know, had, first of all, if I would have gone for it, if we'd have accepted the penalty and gone for it you know, possibly make the fourth and one there. First quarter, you know, 7 points over three makes a difference in that situation. That's a different first quarter. There's, you know, maybe less stress or whatever. I mean, it's the first quarter of a ball game, and it kind of sets the tone early. You know, the third and eight play, I look at that, and I looked at it again this morning, looked at it on the plane last night, and I'd have called the same thing again. It's assignment football. It's one of our basic fundamental plays that we've repped the entire season in a man situation, which we got. And it just comes down to assignments. And we busted one assignment, and negative play happened. So, you know, we have to look at it. We have to own up to those. It starts with me, obviously. And then each man on the team has to own up to their responsibility and make sure that those negative plays don't happen again.
What about the fact, Doug, that, you know, by nature of the play, it's going in reverse, and you're in field goal range, and if it gets dropped for a loss, that pulls you potentially out.
And the thing is, too, in the way I kind of – you guys know football. I mean, come on. It's any play has the ability to go backwards, whether it's a run, a pass, a sack in those situations. I know where we were on the field. It is a relatively safe football play. It gets Darren Sproles out in space in a man coverage look that we have the ability to run some interference on some linebackers, i.e. Sean Lee, who made the play. We had a chance to run interference. We didn't run the interference like we were supposed to. And so I've got to coach that play better. We make that play, we are inside the 20-yard line. When you look at it on film, we're inside the 20-yard line with a first and 10. Or if anything, at worst, it's a fourth down and you're kicking the field goal from a lot closer in than what happened.
Did you second guess yourself on the decision not to kick the field goal?
No, I did not. That was another one where I felt too, where we were in the game, defense was beginning to kind of catch their legs, and they had some momentum, and we had stopped them, and we were stopping their run game. Outside of the first quarter, Elliott had like 12 rushes in the second, 12 in the yards in the third, like 14 in the fourth. So we were doing a great job in the run game. So I was trusting my defense in that situation and to pin them back inside the 15 at the 10 to make them drive the length of the field. I felt real comfortable in that decision.
You're saying you trusted your defense, then couldn't you say, oh, well, if we don't miss this field goal, I trust my defense to stop them?
Yeah, but you give them the ball now at like the, 38-yard line, something like that.
The reward, two scores with 6 minutes to go? You're up
it
two
is,
scores?
But I also look at the third and eight. If we just execute a little bit better, then we're not in this situation and we're not talking about it today.
So getting back to the running backs, will Darren be your primary ball carrier moving forward?
I can't say that 100%. It's something we'll evaluate these next couple of days and make that determination. But until then, it's still Ryan Matthews and then Darren in those situations. And we got to get Wendell and Kenyon going a little bit too.
You regret not being more aggressive with the timeouts at the end. You have a chance to maybe make them punt and give yourself at least a chance.
Yeah, I went back again today and looked at that and I felt if you doing the math on everything and you burn two timeouts possibly in those situations, you might get the ball back with about 15 seconds, one timeout, and have to go 30, 35 yards to kick the field goal possibly in that situation. But, again, I was relying on the fact that I was – our defense was playing extremely well at the time. We were starting to put pressure on Dak those last couple of possessions that they had. And I was fully – confident in our team going into overtime that we were going to win the game.
Burton is big. He's a quarterback, running back in college. carries, played fullback. He's renowned for football instincts. Any consideration of making him one of those salt away fourth quarter guys because of his hands? I mean, you've lost like three games on a fourth quarter fumble so far. So
it's something we'll evaluate. Obviously he had an opportunity to make a play on a third down and we're going to continue to feed our tight ends, feed him in those matchup situations like that. And the best we can to put our guys in those opportunities and our tight ends are I think another one that really has been playing kind of having a quiet but a good season is Brent Celek. And he's another one that we can begin to, possibly look at to get the ball to in those situations.
Four late in the game, and Carson went to Trey Burton versus Brandon Carr. Was that the first read for, is that, I mean, was that the design?
Yeah, because it was a bigger body on a corner, good situation. We've done that before this season already, did it through training camp, work on those situations, and had full confidence that we were going to make that play.
Zach Ertz said after the game that my number is just not being called right now. I'll never second-guess the coaches. I'll never second-guess Carson. That's just the way the games have gone. Would you agree with that his number is not being called?
It's how do you say number? Maybe he may not be the primary guy every time, but the times that he might be secondary, primary or secondary, there's been times where he's been open and Carson's gone a different way with the ball. So a lot of times it's progression of the play. He's doing an outstanding job when called upon. He made a couple good catches again last night, and we continue to try to find ways, to keep feeding him the football.
On the fake punt,
I just think we just lost a little bit of focus right there. We were fully anticipating the punt, and it just lost awareness a little bit on the punter, and ended up on a 30-yard gain.
What decision to put Jalen Mills as the slot corner instead of the plan that you had told us about with Malcolm going in and then Jalen Watkins back at safety?
You talking about Jalen Mills?
Yeah, because Jalen Mills was in at the nickel spot quite a bit yesterday.
Yeah, you also saw Malcolm in there yesterday. You saw Jalen in there yesterday, and it was by scheme, by coverage, by just sort of the matchup and what we were trying to get done defensively, whether it be by blitz or just the coverage that you saw, especially later in the game, we started bringing a little more pressure. So Jalen ended up being the guy inside, and Malcolm was back in his safety spot, either blitzing or covering 82.
Your running backs have fumbled the ball away three times in the last 4 weeks in the fourth quarter. What kind of message do you give them, and what does it mean for a guy like Wendell Smallwood? To get another chance?
Oh, for sure. I mean, this. I'm not going to stand here and I'm not going to just be down on a guy. It'd be easy to do that. And my job is to coach these players up, and as coaches, that's what we get paid to do. So we're going to continue to work on it, talk about it, coach these guys up. We got to have 100% confidence, in our guys in those situations that they will make the play. And like I told the team at the end of the game and in that dressing room, that game last night is going to make us a better football team down the stretch. And I fully believe that. And it'd be easy to point the finger today sitting here, but that's not the case. I mean, we're united. We're going forward. And we got all the confidence in the world in those guys.
As a follow-up to that, you've now lost two games. You've had fourth-quarter leads on the road. What's the teaching point in that? What do you tell the guys about that?
Yeah, I mean, we just got to learn to finish, bottom line. Got to learn to finish. It comes down, when it comes down to that crunch time at the end of the game, I mean, we had opportunities to sack the quarterback, let him out. We had opportunities to make plays on the ball. We didn't do it. We had chances of completing some passes, whether a protection, but we didn't. And those are all learning and teachable moments for a team that we're young on offense. The skill positions, we understand that, but those are moments that are going to make us better down the stretch. And we just have to learn to finish and focus on that each and every week.
It's been a while since you guys have gotten into that consistent rhythm on offense. And I think it's 3 weeks in a row now you haven't had 300 yards. In a game, do you feel like you're close to being where you want to be, or do you feel like it's kind of gotten away from you a little bit?
I feel like it's really, really close. I mean, you put the tape on again this morning and you watch it, and obviously you're sitting there watching in your office, and it's, you're calm and you're kind of going at it, and you're just going, man, we're so close. And the guys are. I can't say enough about how well they're working and preparing in practice and putting themselves in these positions. But You know, we do have to finish better, obviously. There's just it's not a lack of effort at all. I think you would agree that the effort is there. It's just now we have to continue to fine-tune and detail our work, because little things get magnified in games like we played last night.
What did V do upon in his third start when you watch the film?
I'll tell you what, he's getting better. He's getting better, he's getting better, he's getting better, and it's good to see. It's good to see on the road, loud stadium, silent count again. Had 2 weeks in a row now where he's done a great job. So yeah, he's done well.
Do you feel like you're still searching for the right formula on how to kind of cater to the strength of your team, which seems to be defense and special teams, putting them in good positions while also not being too conservative on the offensive side of the ball?
I think there's some of that. I think we're still figuring out. DGB is getting a little more work. Obviously, we're trying to figure him out. We kind of know where he's at, what he can do, and his strengths and weaknesses. Obviously our tight ends, I think we understand what they are and who they are and the magnitude that they could help us. The run game, is probably an area that we continue to improve. I know we can get even better there. Full confidence in our offensive line there. And, you know, Carson gets better every week, and we figure out, and the more we're around and know what he likes and understand what he can do, then we can tailor game plan. So a little bit of we're still trying to figure that out, but at the same time, I think we have a good feel for who we are and what we try to get done in these games.
You just said Carson's getting better every week. For outsiders watching the games, it probably doesn't look like that. What are you seeing for him that tells you he's getting better, even though maybe the numbers aren't there?
Yeah, the numbers may not be there, but the thing is he's not turning the ball over, okay? Which he, last couple of weeks he's had a couple of interceptions. He's really protecting the football a little bit better, and he's understanding, I think, how to spread the ball around. Using his personnel a little bit better each week. I think just understanding the offense, what we're trying to, when a play comes in, what we're trying to get done, why I'm calling that play in that situation, he's getting better there. The sideline, which a lot of people don't see, the communication with his offensive line, with his receivers, with myself, with Frank, is the best I've really been around. And so there's some things on the field, off the field that, it's small, but they're steps in the right direction.
And so the lack of explosiveness, is that a function of the reads he's making or the way you're calling the game?
Could be a little both. Obviously we're going to attack the game, based on what the defense has given us and utilize it that way. Some of it can fall on the quarterback, obviously, because he ultimately has the final say in all the decisions. But and then just personnel and just understanding the design of the play.
Is the defense displaying proper respect for your wideouts in your view? I mean, Chris Collinsworth made a point last night that said that they didn't seem to be defending as if they were really afraid of your explosiveness.
You talking about opposing defenses?
Yeah. You said what the defense gives to you.
Yeah,
cater it to your personnel as well.
I think there might be a little bit to that. But at the same time, I don't think a defense necessarily goes in and says that they're gonna focus on Darren. Yeah, they're gonna focus on Darren a little bit. Might focus on our tight ends a little bit in coverage. But at the same time, I think. What we've seen the last couple of weeks is they're just playing their defense, and they're teams that are executing their defense and not necessarily taking one aspect away, from our offense. Okay, thanks, guys.